According to John chapter 13. If you don't have a Bible, there's one provided for you in the pew rack. If you'll find the 13th chapter according to the Gospel of John. The 13th chapter of John is an amazing passage of Holy Scripture. And there in this passage, we discover the biblical, historical, and theological foundation for the establishment of what we know as the Lord's Supper or communion. It is that final and blessed meal our Lord Jesus shared with his disciples on the very evening of his betrayal and arrest. In John's Gospel, we read that Jesus instituted this Holy Supper, and then he did something most surprising in the presence of his disciples. He rose from supper, as verses 4 and 5 say, and he removed his outer garments and adorned himself with a towel and began to wash the disciples' feet. A bit later on, many discussions followed. And in the midst of those discussions about what Jesus had just done to the men, he explained his actions to them in verses 13 through 15. He says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am he. If then I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should also do just as I've done to you." And then following all of the discussion and then the explanation of what Jesus had just done, the Bible here in this passage of Scripture says that Judas departed. He went out into the night to the place where he would betray Jesus. And he made his preparations to do just that. And after Judas had gone, Jesus then spoke to the remaining 11 disciples. And listen to what he said. Read the words with me in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Read them silently. Hear again the words of Jesus. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Here at this most critical hour, just before our Lord was led away to trial and then was eventually crucified, Jesus gave the disciples a command. He gave them a precept. He gave them something that he called a new commandment. And that command in verse 34 was to love one another. Now, we would fully expect Jesus to say something like that. Such a command makes absolute sense in light of what Jesus had just done for them. Here, Jesus, in this incredible scene, had gotten down on his hands and knees and washed the stinky feet of those disciples. And certainly, love was in the air, so to speak. From one point of view, there's nothing surprising here at all. Jesus has shown them what love is, and he has commanded them to love. His entire life was one of love. Jesus was, in a very real sense, the very embodiment of love itself. He was and is the King of love, and he came to found and to build an eternal kingdom of love based on the unmerited grace of God in him. But we are surprised that he calls this a new command. And you can see that. A new commandment. I can only imagine what some of the disciples, maybe all of them, were thinking. They knew their Old Testaments, I'm sure. And they knew that there was really nothing surprising or nothing new about the command to love one another. These men knew the law of God. They knew Leviticus 19 as well as you know Leviticus 19. Jesus certainly had that in mind. The 19th chapter, the 18th verse of Leviticus says, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And Jesus knew that command, and his disciples knew that command. That was an old command, as old as the Old Testament. And again, in Leviticus 19:34, there was this command to love. Again, an old command. "You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as a native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt, and I am the Lord your God. And then maybe some of the disciples that very hour were thinking about God's book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs. And they remembered Proverbs 3:3. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. God had been commanding that his people love one another from the very beginning. Again, in Proverbs 17:17, those familiar words. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And then in the gospel according to Mark, the very gospel we are working from this evening, in Mark 12, there's this episode, and it's an episode where Jesus speaks of love. Mark 12, 28. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, how could the commandment that Jesus gave them there at the Last Supper be a new commandment? It was an old one. It was as old as God's word itself. What did Jesus mean when he said, I give you a new commandment? Well, let your eyes focus and feast on the words of Jesus there in John 13. And you'll see that Jesus does much more than simply recast the Old Testament command to love one another. He adds, and only Jesus can add to the Word of God, because he is the Word of God. And Jesus adds to the Word of God. With the Old Testament command to love one another in the background, in his mind, in his heart, Jesus then speaks it with freshness, with great fresh power. He rearticulates it. He offers it a new reading. He says, love one another. Verse 34, even as I have loved you. Not simply to love one another, but to do so in view of how love itself was being defined and displayed right then in the life of Jesus and would be a few hours later on the cross. Love one another, even as I am loving you and have loved you and will love you. The newness of the old commandment is just this. Those who would be followers of Jesus must love and must love one another as that very love is measured and exemplified by Jesus himself. It is a new command, a blessed command, connected to our Lord's example of constant self-sacrificing love. He is commanding that we who know him should pattern our lives after the way he loved unworthy, unloving, undeserving sinners. The love he is commanding in a fresh way is to be at work among us as a love that looks to the cross for its greatest demonstration. The amazing heaven-sent love exemplified and personified in Jesus Christ is to be at work in the community of those whom Jesus has redeemed. Now, the disciples aren't just to love each other, but they're to look at Jesus dying, giving his life, flooding sinners with mercy, and bathing their sins in his infinite compassion. That's the measure of the love that is to be among the covenant people, not just any love, but the love of Christ Jesus, the Lord and the King. It should not surprise us at all that in the epistles of the New Testament, where the life of Jesus is explained, where his teachings are further amplified and applied, the Apostle Paul perhaps thinks of this very night when Jesus gave the new command. In that great letter to the Ephesian Christians, he says in chapter 5, he says, walk in love Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. He's repeating the words of Jesus, and he's telling the church, he's telling every redeemed Christian to walk in love, but not just any love, but as Christ has loved us and given himself up for us as an offering acceptable and pleasing to Almighty God. Now, that's the heart of the new commandment. The heart of this commandment, the distinguishing feature of this love, is sacrifice and forgiveness. For how did Jesus love us? He gave himself for our sins. He died that we might be fully forgiven and our sins eternally cleansed. In other words, the love that Jesus is commanding with fresh power is gospel love. It's as if the definition of the word love was waiting on Jesus to come. And now Jesus comes and we know what love is. We've lived with substitutes before, the saccharine love, the love of human power and human affection that is limited and stained and faulty and will fail. But Jesus comes and he doesn't just teach us what love is about. He demonstrates what love is. He gives himself. He forgives. This is the new commandment, to love one another by giving ourselves away in self-sacrifice, to forgive one another when we sin and hurt each other, to put the gospel of God's reconciling love into action in everyday life. This kind of love, the kind of love that Jesus commanded, my brothers and sisters, does not exist anywhere in this entire world but among those who are truly Christians. Your very presence here tonight was perhaps preceded by the news of another slaughter of Christians in Africa. And that was preceded by one before, and one before that, and one before that, and one before that, and there'll be some tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after, and there will be evidence piled upon evidence that this world is a world of absolute hatred. It is a world full of love substitutes. And the only place that love really exists as God intends for it to exist is among those who've been loved by Jesus. You and me. It belongs only to those who've been redeemed by Christ. Those who themselves have met the King of Love. But notice what else Jesus says about this new command in verse 35. As if the command were not heavy enough and glorious enough, he adds something in verse 35. By this, he says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, first notice that he isn't talking here in this particular context about loving the world, although he does and we should. But the love that Jesus is commending and commanding is a love among those who are redeemed. It is the love that exists between brothers and sisters in Christ. And he says, by this, all men out there in the world who are watching you will know, they will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And that's a remarkable thing to hear coming from the lips of Jesus. It's often been observed by preachers and scholars that this is not what we would have expected Jesus to say as the chief indicator or proof of our discipleship. We would have expected Jesus to say any number of things would have indicated that we are his disciples. We could list a list a mile long of those possible indicators, but Jesus sets forth love as the ultimate identifying mark of our membership in the kingdom of God. Love. Gospel love. Here Jesus says that genuine, deep-seated, constant, and self-sacrificing love for one another is the distinguishing trait of the Christian. It is by the presence of such love that the world sees and knows that we belong to the one who is love's true embodiment. We ourselves have been captured by this reconciling love. And it's only natural, or should I say, supernatural, that it exists among us. Again, we need to remember this is not the world's love. You won't find a formula for this love in a factory. You won't find a prescription for this love at the local bookstore or even the local Christian bookstore. Only Jesus can give this love. You have to know Him first. You must first be loved by Him. You have to first be captured by this love yourself. And when you are, when you're captured by this love, and the very one who loves you empowers you to repent and believe. When He brings you to life, He installs, He places, He locates His very Spirit in you, and the very Spirit of God Almighty enables you to love. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Romans 5, that incredible chapter, Romans 5. God's love, he says, has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. When you met Christ, when Christ found you in His sovereign mercy, He put His very Spirit within you, and His Spirit is a spirit of love. And He didn't just sprinkle His Spirit, He poured it out. He poured out His Spirit of love in you. Now, what is different about this love? Again, what distinguishes this love? What makes it unique? Well, it is a word that forgives. The word love is a word that implies and even demands forgiveness and reconciliation. What's so unique about this love? And it's amazing to think about this. We could spend the rest of the evening just pondering this one point, that this love that's been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, it exists and it thrives in the atmosphere of human sin and guilt. Do you see that? It is a love that gets more magnificent the more desperate we become. It is a love that's more glorious the darker my sins are. It lives, it thrives in human weakness and folly and sin. It is a love for the unlovely. It is a love that expects nothing in return. It is a love that is quick to forgive. It is a love that makes no record of a wrong suffered. It seeks, it gives, it is patient and kind. It redeems, it never fails when everything else does. It is nothing less than the supernatural love of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And here Jesus says, the presence of that love working itself out among the congregation of the redeemed shows the world that we are the true people of God. We are the church of the Savior. We are the new Israel of God, the covenant people. And so in this lovely, peaceful evening, as we reflect upon our Lord's sacrifice, let us heed the words of Scripture, and especially those words penned by that man who was known as the Apostle of Love, even John himself. And he writes this, a fitting word of exhortation as we end our time in the Word together. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this is love, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the offering of appeasement for our sins. And beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. For no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. Brothers and sisters who know the Lord, brothers and sisters who've been loved by Jesus, let us love one another as Christ has loved us. And may the people on this side of the mountain and even on the other side and even in the northern part of our state and even in our state and our country and our world know that we belong to the King of love. Will you pray with me?